The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, July 31st, and a little after 11 o'clock, and once again, this is C.A. Nuri. Once upon a time, when I was at a college across the street, I'm not going to call the name, anyone know where I'm at will understand which school that is, the lecturer mentioned what is the most significant event to happen in the Bahamas. Independent majority rule, and so on and so forth. And I said, man, emancipation made me free. It made me accepted into what they call civilized society. Of course, that caused chaos inside the class because we had all kind of pseudo intellectuals in the class, and they like challenging me because I tend to go against the grain, right? I still do celebrate Emancipation Day. I, for Emancipation Day, tend to take my child, and say, we're going to go pick some cotton. I drive all the way out west to pick cotton, not because I want to reminisce about slavery, no. I want to explain the journey where we're coming from, to appreciate freedom. Freedom is important to me, right? And I don't want her to forget her past, because I think in the future, there are some challenging times for her generation, right? And I want her to appreciate why her ancestors fought, why I continue to complain, in order to for her to be an advocate and activist to challenge the status quo so she can maintain her freedom. It's going to be Emancipation Day tomorrow. A number of events is going to be happening throughout the Bahamas. They have a number of local and international groups who are doing different things to celebrate emancipation. There are talks about reparation, people still trying to be repaired and get some money because of what happened to our ancestors. And I'm going to have a conversation about that. In the other show, Erin Green, On the Clock with Erin Green, she asked the question, are we really free? Ain't I free? I just go and say anything to anybody at any time. But there are times I got to suffer the consequences because I say some things sometimes and I deserve to get some lashes, right? So today I want to talk about freedom, emancipation, the importance of it. Should it be still celebrated? Is it a black holiday? Can white Bahamians, Conky Joe, celebrate emancipation? Is this a holiday for them? Or is it just a holiday for us? I want to talk about, did we reach freedom or emancipation already? Or is it a journey? What should we be doing as black people? No. What should we be doing as Bahamians, black and white? Because slavery impacted all of us. The scars and the weight of slavery impacted all of us. We still carry it. The burden's still there. I remember taking a history class. There was a poem called The White Man's Burden. I already know if my guest even read that poem. I mean, she's well-versed. But the poem called The White Man's Burden, which said that the reason for slavery was to help uncivilized nations to become civilized. That certain people was doing us a favor. I've heard black Bahamians mention that too. Man, if y'all was still in Africa, y'all would be doing this. I said, man, no, man, I wouldn't be doing that. And surely if there were fair trade, I would have been doing great things too. But either there are people who come and take all the resources and don't want to trade fairly. Anyway, that's my diatribe before the conversation. Today we have in studio Dr. You know all the name you have?
You know them. Go ahead.
Campbell Dean. Dr. Campbell Dean. So I just go shorten it, right? And make sure I keep that last good name of your good husband. Dr. Campbell Dean.
That works.
Yeah, that's good, right? Is Dean. In studio. And she's having an event. I'm going to start off the conversation highlighting the event first to make sure the Bahamian people are aware of it and that where they come and attend. And then we'll have our conversation. We'll have Aaron Green do some commentary about it. We have Miss Corley do some commentary about it. Awesome. But I want to make sure people attend your event and know the date of the event and then why people must all roads lead to Fox Hill. Because I want to say how important Junkanoo is to emancipation, is it, especially for the Bahamas context, is Junkanoo important? But anyway, without further ado, Dr. Neil Campbell Dean.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. And so I am here really to talk about Emancipation Day, celebrate Emancipation Day, and do that through the Bahamas National Reparations Committee. Tonight at 6 p.m. at the Fox Hill Community Center, we are going to have an intergenerational panel discussion about emancipation, asking the very question that Aaron asked earlier, are we really free? And I am really excited about this conversation because I think that those types of questions are ones that we don't often ask between generations to see how their perspectives may change. You know, we have a lot to say about Generation Z, but what do they think about emancipation? And so we have a panel featuring Priest Rithrin McKinney, established Rastafari leader here in the Bahamas. He will be on our panel. We also have UB history major Alexis Seymour, Bahamas National Reparations Committee volunteer Dylan Miles, and National Youth Ambassador Liam Miller, all of participating on our panel to give their perspectives on emancipation and what freedom means to them. We're also going to have some performances by spoken word artist Keanu Strawn. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but on Facebook, he's been doing some really awesome and interesting things. So we're excited to see what he has to say tonight. And also we'll have some drumming by the Nyabingi Rastafari group. We'll be bringing their drums and invoking the spirit with their music. And so we're going to have some light refreshments, you know, just to wet your palate and keep you a little sustained at the Fox Hill Community Center. But we look forward to having a really engaging and interactive panel tonight.
Is this event free?
This event is free $99.
And you're having refreshment and it's free?
It's free. Can you imagine?
Okay, that's good. And that's what time again?
At 6 o'clock.
Tonight?
Tonight.
Why you chose Fox Hill?
That's a great question. We chose Fox Hill because Fox Hill is one of the established, I guess you could say, well, I don't want to use the word indigenous, but one of the four established traditional communities on the island in which enslaved people inhabited. And we know that there were also a large community of persons who were never enslaved formally that also migrated to Fox Hill. Fox Hill is one of the only communities in the country that has their own specific celebration around emancipation. And so we thought that it would be good. This is the first event that we're hosting by ourselves around emancipation since the pandemic. And so we kind of just wanted to situate it in a community in which Emancipation Day has great historical meaning.
Okay. I'm going to add some things, but I promise, Erin, we're going to do some birthday shout-outs. I just remember it, too. I want to give a birthday shout-out to Miss Sonia Dorsett. Happy birthday to her. It's her birthday day. I accidentally called this woman today trying to get to a store, and she answered it, and she was not offended because I was around the person who was telling me the stuff. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, so you get the wrong number. And I said, thank you, miss. I appreciate you. I feel free. So happy birthday, Miss Sonia Dorsett. I just want to say, Erin, who you have happy birthday to?
Happy birthday to Mrs. Marva Sawyer, and congratulations on the 49 years of blissful marriage, Mr. and Mrs. Sawyer, the mother and father of Eric Sawyer III, who's my sports co-host when I could pull him away from work. But he worked hard. Anyway, congratulations on this union, and happy birthday, Mrs. Sawyer and Mr. Sawyer, happy anniversary. And to Eric Sawyer III, that sounds like the way now. Y'all have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Erin. And going back to our conversation, you chose Fox Hill because of its dynamics and its historical impact in terms of free people or free societies, and also areas that had enslaved persons. It's a former slave village. Mm-hmm. And few people know that Fox Hill proper was established by Mr. Fox, who bought it from Mr. Sandilands. Mm-hmm. Mr. Fox was a free black man. And few people know that narrative. And that's one of the narratives that I hope you actually tell as you start the conversation in Fox Hill, right? But Junkanoo.
Yeah.
Junkanoo is a big thing.
Yes.
They are boycotting. The Junkanoo community is boycotting Fox Hill Emancipation celebrations this year. There are a number of black Pan-Africanists who are concerned because Junkanoo is a part of being African, a part of being free. And the idea that a group is boycotting freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And as a social scientist who have done commentary on Junkanoo and aspects of how it impacts the Bahamas, and the idea that a privatized group is saying, my labor, my Junkanoo is private and solely belongs to me, forgetting the history, the narrative, the need of the celebration, especially with Fox being one of the only ones that celebrate in such a large way.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, will that have any social impact on our psyche, or should it have any social impact on our psyche moving forward in terms of our journey towards freedom, emancipation?
That's a big question. I think, you know, overall, I think that Junkanoo is a part of our psyche as Bahamian people, of what makes us who we are. I think, you know, but I am not a Junkanoo, so I think I should start off by saying that, prefacing my statement with that. But Junkanoo means a lot to me as a Bahamian. I try to make it to as many Junkanoo rush outs as I possibly can. I think one of my friends and colleagues, Princess Abdiel, who is a Junkanoo, wrote a statement on her Facebook page about it, basically saying that nobody owns Junkanoo. You know, and that Junkanoo is how we do express our freedom. And so I think that it can be maybe problematic if we have situations where people feel restricted from expressing themselves in the way that is quintessentially Bahamian, which is Junkanoo. Boundaries on doing that, and why those boundaries are created, who creates those boundaries. I think that those are all questions that we need to think about when we think about the future of Junkanoo and how it impacts us as a community.
So let me bring Ms. Colley into this conversation. She's studying psychology as a profession. That's a profession, right? The psychology of junk, the psychology of emancipation, the psychology of being restricted. Junk news have been told they cannot participate, full stop. Mm-hmm. I want to know that withdrawal symptom. Mm-hmm. How can that impact behemoths who think they're free?
Mm-hmm. Well, not to speak on the freedom part specifically, but I'll give an example of, you know, the independence and how we usually have tattoo that brings in the Independence Day. But because of the weather, the tattoo stuff was postponed, and I felt so out of place. Mm. I felt a little lost because then what do I do right now? Where do I go right now? And there's something about being in shared spaces with people that are having an appreciation for the same thing that you're having an appreciation for. It's being able to hear the commentary of Bahamians laughing. It's being able to be present with them as they are sharing ways do when we gather is talk. And so to have them share their own stories of their experiences, to listen to the music and to talk about the jokes. And in those spaces, it does not matter how much money you have or do not have. It does not matter what your education level was or whatever. It does not matter what your family kind of experiences were like, because here in this moment, we are appreciating our freedom, in quotations. We are appreciating our experiences. We are appreciating the things that connects us. And the fact that I did not have that to usher in the independence, I felt so discombobulated, I will use that word. And so I connect that to things like emancipation, where we kind of have the similar experience of people coming together. Now, there are some people who don't exactly care about all these things, so they don't care. There's some people who still have to be to work regardless. There's some people who still yelling at each other regardless. And so they may not be having the same experience as me for sure. But I bask in the fact that we can laugh together. That's where the freedom for me comes from. The fact that we can come together inside this space and have conversations, free conversations, and there's very little consequence, that we can buy the things that we can't buy all the things we need. But in this moment, because there will be the alcohol, regardless of how much money you don't have, there will be the alcohol. There will be the jokes. There will be the memories. There will be the reminiscing. There will be the fun times. There will be the storytelling. And the young, the olds, whatever class they belong to, will be present. And that is something that can't be taken away, regardless of the Junkanoo groups not being there. One. Two, I feel like we put a lot of responsibility, we put a lot of what we want on other people. We put a lot of that responsibility on other people. And so I feel like if Junkanoo is important to you, then go play it.
Oh, that's deep.
We don't have to wait on the groups to go pay it, because we know how to beat drums. Now, they have skills, so I'm not going to discredit that. But because it's not the groups that make this Junkanoo. That's not what the spirit is. It's an expression. And so you carry yourself. So you carry your drums, whatever kind of drums you have. If you have buckets, because that's what they used.
Carry sometimes. Your drums. I love
so
that.
So you carry your buckets. It's like our parents said the other day. You carry your water bottles and you turn them upside down. And if you want to bomb them, then you bomb them. Because the feeling that we get of being together and sharing this expression of music is going to be there regardless of the form of music.
Aaron, I have you as being my official define of words, so I can bait Dr. Campbell Dean. What is reparation? Because I know she's on a whole movement of reparation, always begging these foreign people to give us things. But I want a definition of reparation, so I go and ask. So when I go and ask Dr. Campbell Dean, what's she always begging these foreigners for? What's she reparation or things about? What is reparation?
Since you may ask me anything about Junkanoo, reparations is the people who actually...
You can start talking about that Junkanoo group I don't recognize. That's
people,
why.
You mean the spirit, the greatest scrap group in the history of Junkanoo white people in the whole world, except for the pigs and Methuselahs? You mean them?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's better than the Anglo-Saxons, eh?
I love the Anglo-Saxons.
They coming back. Listen, I'm glad you said it. Y'all watch out. These people don't want to give you Junkanoo. We shall give you Junkanoo.
Yes.
Come into the streets of Bay. The spirit, the greatest scrap group in the history of Junkanoo white people in the whole world, except for the pigs and the Methuselahs. and the Anglo-Saxons. Since y'all don't want to be unemancipating everything this year, and because y'all doing it so slowly. You're killing Junkanoo so slowly. Why not just kill it quickly one time? Mm-hmm. Right? But if you're talking about reparations, like reparations would be the Junkanoo people who spent decades, like people like Bremen, pasting a costume and paying for their own costume to get paste, right? For them to be compensated for the blood, sweat, and tears that they've poured into this event that has resulted in the prestige of old men who can't jump over a 2-foot fence. Mm. That's it. That's what reparations is. That's what it is. Sorry, you were talking about reparations, not Junkanoo. Hey. So reparations is a restoration of balance, right?
Restoration.
Of balance. In this instance, reparations is first and foremost an acknowledgement that the very same systems that created, perpetuated, and sustained chattel slavery, imperialism, the complete and utter degradation of African people and dark-skinned people, right? That those very same systems exist today, mm-hmm. and that we are forced still to operate within them, right? And that's the first thing. Reparations is an acknowledgement that nothing has changed. And once we make the acknowledgement that nothing has changed, a commitment to changing these things, right? And then thirdly, a compensation, an economic compensation. See, while the people in the thick of the fight have negotiated, not compromised, but negotiated a space where conversation can continue, I ain't at that table, right? And I could say, it is not unreasonable for the descendants of African slaves to demand economic compensation, since y'all didn't think it unreasonable to ensure that the owners of slaves got their compensation. Again, the bond, the loan that was taken out to compensate those slave owners wasn't paid off until 2015. So if this government of the Bahamas sent any money, anything, to the crown, to my cousin, I keep telling y'all stop it, but still, if we sent any money to them, it means that you and I, Nuri, that we have paid for the freedom of our ancestors while we still living in the same system that enslaved them.
Let's go to the caller.
I see why you didn't ask me about
that. Let me bait Dr. Campbell Dean after that to see why she fighting so vigorously, asking and demanding for compensation and what kind of compensation she wants. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Hey, Nuri.
Hey, I'm there.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, I mean, you're calling the show.
The JCMP do not own Junkanoo.
What you mean they don't own Junkanoo?
They own Junkanoo. There's 5 or 6 on the side of us. What could the JCMP do?
If you rush under a banner, you can get suspended. They say that last night. They say any Junkanoo group who go out there on Fox Hill Day. I just tell you what they say, though. You ask me. They said if any Junkanoo group go out there on Fox Hill Day and rush, they got to do. You better don't come on. I need your group banner.
They'll send all 10?
All 10 if they under the group banner.
I know what they're about.
I know who's their boss. JCMP is a union.
Well,
it can't be a union. Are they registered as a union?
They use a union night now. Thank you very much, Colo.
Are they registered as a union?
They unionized now. They didn't say it. They done see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they said it. Did they say it outside the bathrooms?
Because
there are plenty good announcements that's come right outside the bathroom.
Wait for the news today. They done see it. But let's still talk to Campbell. Your efforts and mm-hmm. seeking reparations for Bahamians, mm-hmm. for the wider Caribbean, for Africans, whoever it is, I'm going to ask you a baited question. One, if we are to get reparations, if that happens.
When?
Okay, when we get reparations. I am 2% Conky Joe. Mm-hmm. Can my Conky Joe family get some reparations too?
So the reparations model that is employed by the CARICOM Reparations Commission is a developmental model of reparations, okay? We know that, well, Aaron gave us a beautiful definition of reparations overall, but when we look at how reparations would function within this region, that it is not an individual payment reparations as seen in communities like those who survived the Jewish Holocaust, right, where individual families receive checks on a monthly basis. We have a developmental model of reparations, and so that means that there are 10 points of development as outlined by the CRC, and you can go on the CARICOM Reparations Commission page or the Bahamas National Reparations Committee pages on Facebook and Instagram to find out what those 10 points are. But they include things like public health restoration, illiteracy eradication.
That's for everybody.
Yeah, so if you're in the country, you're going to benefit from it, you know. And two, I think the model of emancipation, that release state, when Black people are free, everybody is free, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody is free. When Black people are free, the liberation has to come for all. So it's not and has never been an issue about punishment or, you know, chastisement. It's about justice and really about development. That's what reparations is. And reparations for me is also an opportunity for us in the country not to focus on just how we're going to get this money from these white people, right? But for us to have conversations like this, like what does freedom mean to us? How do we want to see ourselves in the future? And to do that under a government banner in public spaces, I mean, I don't think it gets much better than that.
So you're saying your event that's happening tonight at 6 p.m. in Fox Hill Community Center,
yes,
is not a Black event?
Emancipation is not a Black event. Emancipation is about freedom and freedom for us all. You know, when there was this cartoon, I'll never forget, of Nelson Mandela, and he was depicted as a giant. And there was like a pile of gold in front of him. And he was trying to reach for the gold, but he couldn't get it because he had straps on his wrist and his feet. And the straps were labeled apartheid, right? And there were like little men holding the straps. And they were reaching for the gold as well. But they couldn't get it either. And basically, the image was saying that when, whether you are the oppressed or the oppressor, that none really benefit in systems of oppression. Because nobody can get to the ultimate goal or the goodness for all in the society. If I'm focused on keeping you oppressed, then I have to stay with my hand on your neck, right? And that alleviates me from being able to do other things. So when we're talking about emancipation, while the focus is on the emancipation of people who were enslaved, we also acknowledge that that emancipation freed the country up to be able to do greater things.
I asked a definition of what is reparation. What is emancipation then? Because now what I was seeing emancipation was 1834, 1838. Mm-hmm. Now you're saying emancipation is just freedom. And that everyone benefits from freedom, mm-hmm. right? This includes all races, all demographics mm-hmm. in general. I'm not sure if that narrative is being said during August 1st, right? It seems as if we segregated in the celebration. And I want to know, is there space for all Bahamians to celebrate emancipation?
Well, first of all, Nuri, why wouldn't Bahamians of European descent want to celebrate emancipation?
Because they're scared to be rowdy.
We rowdy?
Everybody wants to be rowdy.
You but ain't never hear Long Island people rowdy.
That's our mixed blood.
We are rowdy at regattas.
That's what Conky Joe mean, though.
Yeah.
We're rowdy at John Canoe, so why would there be a difference?
Folks are literally at war. I'm trying to put you...
Yeah, we carrying on
isolating us and behaving people when people are only
the Bahamas matters in this world.
Okay,
we God chosen people. God put us here in paradise.
But back to the question, right? Like, why wouldn't people of European descent want to celebrate emancipation?
I'm not sure if they know they can celebrate. That's why I'm trying to bait Dr. Campbell, Dr. Campbell,
I'm glad you bit the bait.
I mean, not to call any, but we have Bahamians of white ancestry that are members of the Bahamas National Reparations Committee.
Really?
Absolutely.
And they will be there. Too?
Absolutely. Because they understand the premise, right? That when black people are free, everybody is free. You know, when we win, everybody wins. So that's, you know, not an issue.
There's a quote by Bob Marley, war. How'd that go? There will always be war.
Until the philosophy, holds one race of people superior and another inferior, is finally and permanently abandoned and discredited, everywhere is war.
War. Mm-hmm. You know, producer, you got to find that song, right? Mm-hmm. War on the East. Anyway, I want to...
Why you look at me like that?
I just make sure that it can be war, and if we don't reach that point.
But listen, I wondering what going to happen Fox Hill Day, if there will be war in the East. My question is, there will be war. What are the terms of war? What I want to know is, why are people playing war with my junk canoe? Mm-hmm. Why you think it's yours to wage war with? Why you think Junkanoo is yours to make a mini plantation? Because here's the thing. You're too late. The Canadians done colonized it. Remember? While y'all was sitting back fighting over who in charge and who get to go on bay, the academics in Canada held the first global, or say they's holding the first global Junkanoo conference. Why you
pictures.
Right. Why you want to use my Junkanoo to wage a war you can't fight on your own?
Let's go to the caller first, and then we go back to Dr. Campbell Dean to talk about her event, then talk about emancipation, talk about reparation, and what all they have accomplished thus far. I want to know, is there any victory in sight? Because you mentioned not if, but when. But let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio.
CA Mary, Aaron Grid.
Morning.
To your guests. I'm an avid entrepreneur. I have a problem with mixing apples and oranges. This is what I call it. I think the Junkanoo practices are should strictly be left community oriented. That's something for Mama to sell a little coke for the groups to make a little extra dollar, for the participants to condition themselves. And I don't think it has no place in with what they're doing against the authority. I think it's a half-baked idea. They didn't think it through properly. That shouldn't be mixed in with what they're trying to accomplish. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
So here's my Junkanoo loophole. What if all of the groups just come together in, like, Junkanoo attire, regular white shirts or whatever, if they feel like, and just rush as a collective? You can't suspend everybody. But I agree with you, Carla. But what if everybody just comes together and rush? Because they play the same songs half the time.
They don't want that. They want war. They want war. They want a state where they could be kings. They have a plantation, and they're desperately trying to maintain it. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. They don't want that. The problem is, you remember I said confuse the enemy? We're talking about driving. Mm-hmm. Like who is your enemy? Why are you fighting yourself? Why are you fighting us? Who is your enemy? Who are you mad at?
Okay. And bait, Dr. Campbell Dean. What should we be doing in pursuit of emancipation, in pursuit of freedom?
We should be doing things like attending our event tonight at 6 p.m. at the Fox Hill Community Center. And having these conversations.
So we're going to take a quick break. Continue our conversation. We are Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we're talking to Dr. Yamba.
Yambi, you know my name,
but I just call you Campbell Dean. That's why it's called that. You never notice I just call you Campbell Dean.
All these words.
We're going to take a quick break right now, man. The good doctor is here. We talk about reparations. We talk about emancipation. We talk about independence. I can add that question. Are we truly independent?
Oh, boy.
Right? Especially moving towards emancipation, right? And then we add throwing in Junkanoo and throwing in the festival and throwing in all kinds of behemoths in general and making space for all behemoths. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
Feel call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
As a local Bahamian bank, we believe that Bahamian businesses are the backbone of our society. At Fidelity, we proudly fuel the dreams of our local entrepreneurs looking to expand. Ready to grow your business? Apply for a Fidelity commercial loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. 2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I'm going to ask a question in tribute to my producer, Kermit. This is I know he's listening, right? Every time I speak John Canoe around him, he's get angst and can suck his teeth. You know, tell me move on. The JCNP want to be free. They want to experience emancipation. They say the government want to colonize John Canoe. Uh-huh. This is the row. They want to be free on Emancipation Day. So a part of their freedom march is they're boycotting all government-sanctioned John Canoe performances. They have their own John Canoe things that they let them rush. They say, well, we'll choose which you can rush to. So they have commanded all their John Canoes that, hey.
Let me complicate it a bit more, right?
Go ahead.
You know, when we had the question of why didn't some enslaved people leave the plantation once freedom had been established, right? It's like the JCNP on the plantation saying, no, don't go out that gate. Don't go out that gate. You ain't gonna like what you see out there in that brand new world. It's scary out there.
They gone out first.
It's other monsters out there. Yeah, they can say, we done been out there, rough out there. You should stay back inside the gate on the plantation with us.
And my question to you, Doctor, how can the JCNP be free? I listen to Kermit in the background. He growled again. How can the JCNP be free and emancipate themselves from government, but at the same time allow all of the vendors, all of the rest of Junkanoo's and all of the people who watch Junkanoo still be attached to the celebration at the same time?
I cannot speak for what the JCNP should do. All I can say is that there's the JCNP and then there's Junkanoo. Right? And the two are mutually exclusive. Junkanoo is a spirit. So you cannot...
That's what Crawley was trying to say. Crawley said, bring your buckets and be...
Yeah. How you could tell me where the spirit go.
But can I come out as a group?
Junkanoo is a spirit.
Nuri, somebody wrote something interesting, right? And they talked about the allocation of tickets and whose response. They was rowing the JCNP, right? And they talked about the number of tickets to go to dignitaries and celebrities in the highest end, the most sought after spots, right? Mm-hmm. Rawson Square Park. I'm thinking about us going to Gladstone Road to go stand up on the side of the road and watch Junkanoo, right? And I think that's cool because you make the poor people do that anyway at Junkanoo. You prioritize, because you got to make money, right? Y'all got to make money. Y'all prioritize how y'all decide how the tickets are allocated and where the free tickets go. I mean, come on, I've never heard anybody from the JCNP or the Junkanoo community announce that they have a competition where schools could win Junkanoo tickets, right? For performance or for something, and they get to sit in Lawson Square.
They have no money. They got to get money from the government. The government got to announce that.
They have power, though. Look at all this power they're talking about. They could shut down Junkanoo. See, this is what they're saying. Use a boss. You could shut down Junkanoo, but you cannot make it so that there's a national competition and the best school gets free tickets for Junkanoo to sit in Russell Square and Parliament Square with a dignitary. Come on, make it so. You got all this power. You could shut down Junkanoo, but you can't make it so that every Junkanoo shack have a bathroom. Come on, man. What type of power this is?
Ms. Scully, how do you celebrate Emancipation Day?
I do nothing. I sit
Is that freedom?
Home. Yes. Okay. Yes, it is. I don't have anyone asking me to help them with anything. I don't have anyone asking me to
You have children?
Any. No.
But so it don't matter. You don't have, don't matter, man. You're free every day, man.
No, work-wise, there's always someone needing something. So I spend my, I express my freedom doing exactly what I want, which is nothing. However, I will say that it's freedom because a lot of times we get so focused on movement and doing that we don't prioritize rest. That we don't know how to stop, we don't know how to take, and we spend so much time working and overworking that we don't get to enjoy the freedom that we have. And so to show my appreciation for my freedom, I do nothing. I make someone else cook my food, probably my mommy, because I love her, and I say, hey, I'm hungry, and also I don't feel like driving, so can you bring the food to me? Well, and that's what I do.
There you go. Dr. Campbell.
Yeah.
Right?
Dean.
I remember the Popeye Ricardo.
So you remember. You ain't gonna ask us what we do on Emancipation Day.
You just go on the beach.
No, I don't go on the beach.
What do you do, Aaron?
First of all, you notice it rain on every public holiday. I use this time like I do every year trying to convince the raccoons to join my union. Mm. It's Emancipation Day. We agitating, we advocating. It's Emancipation Day. We got work to do.
That adds a different question. Should unions be participating in Emancipation Day, Dr. Dean?
Emancipation Day is for everybody.
No, but the idea is, before there was forced labor, right? You emancipated from that forced labor. One would assume that Emancipation Day would be something spiritual for a union body.
I think that's one of the questions that we could pose at our event tonight at 6 o'clock at the Fox Hill Community Center. For our panel and see how they respond to that. But I would say one of the things that I did for Emancipation Day last year for the first time was I actually went on the march with the Rastafari, and they march every August 1st.
They don't
right?
have Columbus statue to show that anymore.
Well, it wasn't even about that, right? But every August 1st, not the holiday, but August 1st, they make sure to recognize the Emancipation Day on the calendar. Definitely want to shout them out because that was a beautiful opportunity. And really, you don't have to be Rastafari. They encourage everyone that is interested to just meet up with them and go around the community and really like celebrate this this day as not just another holiday, but as Sir Arthur Folks has stated, one of the most important days on the Bahamian calendar, right? Because without Emancipation Day, there would be no Majority Rule Day, there would be no Independence Day, there would be no National Heroes Day. And so we really want to take time to recognize this as a specific holiday and what it really means to us.
Where do they march?
So we started at the Southern Recreation Grounds and went like down Bay Street and came back up on Blue Hill Road.
Did you all stop at Government House again?
We did pass Government House.
We did not stop.
We didn't.
That's because
well,
the statue
we did
gone.
Stop. We did stop to present a letter to the Governor General to okay. state that to move the day to August 1st. So yeah, we are.
Oh, that's a cool campaign. Mm-hmm. Also, we could take time on August 1st tomorrow and on the August Monday holiday to learn about the Freedom Project campaign to have the
yes.
criminal record of Shivande's Michael the Archangel Smith's.
Why are you going to bring this up with Dr. Campbell here?
Because
no,
she's an integral part of the regional.
It.
She's an integral part of the regional campaign that includes names like our very own Dr. Gaynell Curry, who's vice chair of the United Nations Permanent Forum on People of African Descent, Ambassador Dr. June Suma, former Secretary General of the Association of Caribbean States and immediate past chair of PFPAD, Professor Vereen Shepherd, chair of the United Nations Committee on the Elimination of racial discrimination. Ambassador Dobrin Omarde, Chair of the Antigua and Barbuda Reparations Support Commission, and our own Dr. Hall and Professor Sonia Stanley Anaya. And these are just a few of the names of international scholars, academics, and state actors, right? People who've held a position in some capacity.
Which day is this?
No. The event?
It's a campaign. It's a campaign.
Okay. But remind my listening audience, I see the call, I come to you next. Who is Michael the Archangel again? And what is the audience cry about?
So Shavanda Smith, a.k.a. Michael the Archangel, was the young man who, in an act of protest, held a sledgehammer, took a sledgehammer to the Columbus statue that stands in front of Government House. And he said that he did it on behalf of the Bahamian people, right, to recognize that this statue of this genocide molester shouldn't be there. And he felt like he needed to take an active stance to demonstrate that. And the statue was harmed in the process. And as such, he was arrested and charged with vandalizing public property. And so we note that there have been cases in the UK in which persons who tore down the Colson statue and rolled it through the streets and dumped it in the river were acquitted, saying that the statue represented hate speech. And so we see that there is precedence for him to be pardoned of these charges.
So he's serving time at this present time?
He is not currently in prison, but he does stand to pay a fine of over $7,000.
That's small money. You could do a fundraiser for that. Tell Fritter.
Well, once we have him, the charges completely dropped, right? Then we don't have to worry about paying that. That's so the goal.
When you say completely dropped, you want it expunged also?
Yes, record expunged. Absolutely.
Okay, and how is that campaign going?
It is, as Aaron stated, gaining momentum. We have support from large players in the region and internationally.
You'll get international people to support you?
Absolutely. Because they recognize what this cause is really about, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how can Bahamians join into this cause? Is there any like phone number, email?
So we are about to start our own local petition, the Bahamas National Reparations Committee. So you can start by following us at 242 Reparations on Facebook or Instagram to find out further information.
So listen, here's why this is encouraging to me, Nuri, because in the 2024 article, Bahamas National Reparations Committee renews mandate with official relaunch. We have the acting Minister of Foreign Affairs, Dr. Michael Darville, saying that the Bahamian government supports the work of the committee. Quote, the government of the Bahamas stands shoulder to shoulder with this distinguished committee and CARICOM Reparations Commission as they continue to engage, .. I'm going to close the quote there. And then in the press statement from the Caribbean Freedom Project, they remind us that, and I'm going to read directly from the article, the Freedom Project, I know you caused me choke just now, sir, the Freedom Project is urging PM Davis to accede to the longstanding requests of conscientious citizens, like Latrey Ramming, Director of Communications in his own office.
Yeah.
Who wants them removed from places of public veneration, right? And so this is encouraging to me, who have already pledged sort of like a personal affiliation and support to the issues, and state actors also declaring government support of the entity, right? And the premise that it's founded in, you know, that it's support, the local entity that's supporting this initiative. And we've got people like Prime Minister Motley, Prime Minister Gaston Browne, and Prime Minister Ralph Gonzalez also supporting the initiative.
Yeah.
For our last couple of minutes, Dr. Dean, re-highlight what's happening tonight and your event and so on.
So tonight at the Foxhole Community Center at 6 o'clock, free of charge, we are having an intergenerational community conversation about Emancipation Day and what does Emancipation Day mean to me. Are we really free? Getting the answers and perspectives from those of older generations, younger generations, and everyone in between. And so we really want to encourage great participation and conversation so that we can move, August, the first Monday in August, from just being a day off to really a day where we recognize the importance of emancipation to our history and development as a people.
Okay, let me quickly go to this caller, and then Aaron, we can try to read all the texts at one time. Go ahead, caller. I've given you 30 seconds. Oh, see, caller, I tried. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Aaron.
All right, here's a text. The government could make it unbearable for the JCNP. Don't push them. They need government permission to use the road. Government is now legislating our culture. John Canoe and the Bahamas, stop them now, or we will completely lose our freedom in the Bahamas. Don't question Ms. Cawley about if she know anything about John Canoe.
What was the question?
And the text says, and I can tell you later. Don't worry about it.
No, I would like to know. It may be an opportunity for education.
They suggesting that you don't know enough about John Canoe to have any commentary about it, and that's why I remind people that I belong to the greatest scrap group in the history of the world, white people and John Canoe.
We can come together and perform.
That's why I tell you, don't bother with it. Don't mind these people. Mm. Some of them just missing John Canoe. See what you all doing, JCNP? The people need John Canoe. There's another text that says, and like Dwight Strawn said on his show last week, instead of offering to match the Chinese offer to build a new hospital, the British should have built it free as a part of reparations. Yes. Here's another text. Why must white people be included with us in emancipation? Are those white people advocating amongst other white people for human rights, or are they just in our group spying? Where they can spy? Already don't make the furthest properly. Come on, man. There's another one. Sounds like some white people came in and changed the entire narrative of who was oppressed and who was free. A big lie, if I ever heard one. No, Texas, listen, what I'm trying to tell you is that class and race are inextricable. What they did was, see, they pull a fast one on white people too, you know. What they did was they say, hey, listen, you know, things are looking up, aren't they? Look at those niggas, you better than them, hey? Right. Things are looking up already. That's what happened. That's the language they use. That's what they did, right? And so white people were also oppressed. White people are also a part of the system. That's why I could tell you that the struggles, they say, women don't care about men. The struggles that men are now facing are also a result of patriarchy that is mashing up women. It's the same thing here. Racism and imperialism will destroy black people and white people alike if we don't deconstruct it.
Okay, I'd like to thank Dr. Nyambi Campbell Dean, of course, my guest Rodrica Cawley, and of course Aaron Green.
No, don't thank me. I'm emancipating people today.
Yes. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.